This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, Ireland is facing the greatest humanitarian crisis in its history as refugees continue to arrive from Ukraine. The Taoiseach says the government needs to examine whether widening tax bans or an additional tax rate of 30% should be introduced in the budget. Four men have been arrested in connection with the shooting of a teenager in Strabane last month. And the PRO of the MICA Action Group says a planned protest on Saturday to coincide with a visit to Donegal by the Taoiseach will go ahead, despite the fact that attempts are now being made to organise a meeting with MICA homeowners. Good evening. We'll also have all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at around 5:15. First in news though, Ireland is facing the greatest humanitarian crisis in its history as refugees continue to arrive from Ukraine. Around 600 people a day are arriving here, with 75% of them looking for accommodation from the state. The government is preparing emergency accommodation, including dormitories and camp beds. Minister for Children and Equality, Roderick O'Gorman, says things will get more difficult.
Given that this is a crisis situation, I have to be honest with the public and with those fleeing here. This is the greatest humanitarian crisis Ireland has ever faced. More than 15,000 people have fled here in just over a month, with more than half of those now accommodated by the state. This response will get more challenging in the weeks and months ahead.
The Taoiseach says the government needs to examine whether widening tax bans or an additional tax rate of 30% should be introduced in the budget. The focus in recent budgets has been on improving the bans. Leo Varadkar insists they will continue to provide tax relief in some form.
The question is, how do you do it? Do we do it the way we're currently doing it at the moment, which is by widening the bans so people pay less of their income at the 40% rate? Or do you perhaps consider as an alternative a 30% rate? And that's what I've asked Minister Donoghue to look into. But it's not Fine Gael policy, at least not yet.
Four men have been arrested in connection with the shooting of a teenager in Strabane last month. They're currently in Musgrave Serious Crime Suite, where they are being questioned. With more, here's Eamon Tornsey.
The men, one aged 22 years old, one aged 27 years old and two aged 37 years old, were arrested under the Terrorism Act at locations in Dungannon, Strabane, Omagh and Eglinton. Their arrests are part of the investigation into the shooting of a 19-year-old male at around 7:20pm on the 9th of February in Springhill Park in Strabane, which is believed to have been conducted by the violent dissident Republican group the New IRA. Further searches were also carried out today in Strabane and Coal Island, during which a number of items were seized for further examination. A 36-year-old man arrested yesterday under the Terrorism Act as part of this investigation has since been released without charge.
The PRO of the MICA Action Group says a planned protest on Saturday to coincide with a visit to Donegal by the Taoiseach will go ahead, despite the fact that attempts are now being made to organise a meeting with MICA homeowners. Michael Doherty said there's frustration in Donegal at what appears to be a lack of urgency at government level. The only thing not at a standstill, he said, is the rate at which homes in Donegal are crumbling. Michael Doherty says the meeting was only offered after the protest was announced and doesn't feel that it would have happened otherwise.
Everything's reactionary, everything's last minute, everything is after you hold their feet to the fire to the point where they eventually squeal. And that's exactly what we've done. I'm fairly familiar with what the itinerary was for the Taoiseach, and certainly we weren't in as part of it. So they're looking to get us shoehorned in there somewhere now. But to your point, would this have happened otherwise? My own gut feel is no, we wouldn't have been getting an invite. And to think that your Taoiseach would waltz into the county and waltz back out again, having not looked to engage in with anyone representing the biggest issue this county has ever had, beggars belief, to be honest. There's one in Derry as well at 7pm because the Holly homeowners need to be represented. That's a place for them. But we would ask that that's a very dignified rally because it's the John Hume Memorial that we have got the Taoiseach visiting. But I would also say John Hume, if he was here today, would see the great injustice that's been done and would certainly support what we're looking to do here. But let's keep it dignified.
You can hear the full discussion on our website, highlandradio.com, from today's 9 till noon show. Well, meanwhile, Minister Charlie McConnellogue says that he had always intended to facilitate a meeting and the itinerary was only finalised this week, and that is why he didn't seek to make arrangements until yesterday. He says claims that the government was shamed into facilitating a meeting are inaccurate.
I wouldn't want there to be any question mark. I was disappointed when I saw the video last night saying that the Mike Action Group had been ignored. That's certainly not the case. I've been very clear that there would be a meeting, and as I say, I liaised with the chairperson yesterday afternoon in terms of actually confirming that time. Everybody has the right to protest at any stage. The part that I was disappointed in is that somehow it was that the reason for the protest was because the Mike issue was going to be ignored by the Taoiseach when he was in the county, because that's simply not accurate or not the case, and there was never any question mark over that.
The laws giving power to COVID restrictions will be allowed lapse tomorrow. The government hasn't sought any extension for the powers, with Taoiseach Micheál Martin saying economic restrictions cannot be justified. He's faced calls, though, to reintroduce some measures to deal with the rising number of COVID cases. But the Taoiseach says those cases are not leading to serious illness.
This is not the most virulent variant. It is the most transmissible variant. And the fact that it has less virulence than others is having less impact on serious illness, but that creates a new difficulty for us.
COVID data is predicting a possible peak of 2,200 hospital cases in the next 7 to 10 days. It comes as some bodies call for the reintroduction of masks in public settings. Chair of the Irish Medical Organisation GP Committee and Stranorler Doctor Dennis McCauley says the virus is spreading quickly.
If you go into a shop now and you wear your mask, it'll have an effect on some people in that shop. Will it have an overall effect on the numbers in Ireland for the next 2 weeks? Possibly not, but it's probably a good idea to continue to think about doing those things, but it is burning so brightly.
Electric Ireland's residential customers are facing a sharp rise in prices from May the 1st. Electricity charges are increasing by 23.4% and gas by 24.8%. Over 1 million households will be impacted by the price rises. The company is blaming sustained changes in the wholesale costs. Dara Cassidy from bonkers.ie says customers face significant increases in their bills.
You look at what that adds, though, to the average bill. You're looking at paying now €300 more on average each year for your electricity, and around €220 a year extra for your gas. So it's a huge sum of money that is going to hit people very hard.
The designation of the new Atlantic Technological University represents far more than just a name change. That's the conclusion of research carried out on behalf of the Northern and Western Regional Assembly, which has found the ATU will contribute at least €700 million in economic output and support just over 3,100 jobs per year. NWRA economist John Daly says this economic impact will be a significant improvement on the contribution of the LYIT, Sligo and GMIT at present.
So the new technological university, the figures that we would have developed past the economic impact study would be inclusive of the existing activities based on the financial statements of the three higher education institutes that will be merging to become the Atlantic Technological University. So in that sense, it is inclusive of its existing economic impact. But as a starting base, it shows, and these estimates that we have developed, Donal, will be quite conservative, and it shows that the starting base for the Atlantic Technological University is at least €700 million in a contribution to the Irish economy per year, and the support of 3,100 jobs per year. And that gives you a sense with the expected benefits associated with the new designation, which will range from everything from improving the ability of the region to attracting private and public research funding, to improving the educational offering of the region, and enhancing the Northwest skills base. All of these economic benefits that we have conservatively estimated are simply a starting base.
And you do believe that the designation of the Technological University will, as time goes on, in the longer term, have a more concentrated and a more acute financial benefit and social benefit to the region than the three ITs would have had they remained separate entities?
Absolutely. The designation of the Atlantic Technological University represents far more, say, than just a simple name change. It's going to support the Northwest economy because it's going to improve productivity levels. It's going to expand the region's ability to develop innovative products and services through enhanced research capacity and collaboration. And it's going to support the creation of high-value-added jobs.
Meanwhile, the new university officially comes into being on Friday with the governing body convening for the first time at ATU Donegal in Letterkenny, formerly the LYIT. The governing body will confirm Dr. Orla Flynn as president. The ATU will be officially opened on Monday, the 4th of April, by further Education Minister Simon Harris at an event at ATU Sligo, which will be live streamed to campuses in Galway, Mayo and here in Donegal. The Teachers Union of Ireland says they're opposed to marking their own students as part of the planned overhaul of the Leaving Cert. As part of the plans, all exams will count for just 60% of the final grade, with the rest made up by continuous assessment. Two new Leaving Cert subjects are being created as part of a major reform of the exams. TUI Donegal spokesperson Joanna Irwin says while other aspects are to be welcomed, teachers assessing their own students will be a bone of contention.
Now, over half of the subjects already have additional assessment components, but that will be rolled out to all subjects so there will be less reliance on the final exam. I suppose our main concern in relation to the announcement yesterday is what was suggested by the Minister, in that teachers would be assessing their students for that additional assessment component, and that is something the TUI members are fundamentally opposed to. We will not mark our own students for state certification purposes. So that's going to be, the big bone of contention now in the talks going forward.
Presumably there will also have to be discussion about the extra work that these changes will incur, who does that extra work, how that extra work is remunerated, and what changes to organisation within schools and on a wider basis is going to have to be introduced to make sure this gets done properly.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't know when it's taking place, how it's taking place, what's actually happening in relation to it. I mean, just by way of an example, one of the things that was said yesterday will be that in future years, all of the oral examinations in the modern foreign languages and the Irish and the music practical exams will take place in the first week of the Easter break. And we've already had teachers on to us this morning saying, well, look, that's actually affecting our extracurricular activities in schools. We have students who are due, for example, next year to go to the World Championships in Irish dancing, which is in Canada, and if that goes ahead, then they actually won't be able to do it, and then they'll be outside of that competition. So there's a lot of things to be discussed, but the two main issues, I suppose, for us is about the, as you say, the workload associated with it, and the fact that it was muted yesterday. The teachers will be assessing the students, and that's something that we as a union will be fundamentally opposed, and we have already said it to the Minister, and we will continue to say it.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with Gaelic Games. Donegal duo Orm McFadden Ferry and Neil McGee, along with Armagh trio Stephen Campbell, Aidan Nugent and Kieran Mackin, will have to sit out the championship encounter between the two sides at the end of next month after being hit by proposed bans following the melee at the end of their league clash last Sunday in Letterkenny. The five have been named in the referee Paddy Nallon's report, and the offence of contributing to a melee carries a punishment of a one-game suspension. The Donegal and Armagh County boards have been notified of the bans and will now consider appeals. It also remains to be seen if the CCCC will take any further action on video evidence which showed other players involved, and will they also fine the county board? Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News says Armagh will feel harder done by.
It is a fairly significant punishment. I don't know that maybe a lot of people were expecting it to be as severe. Certainly in the aftermath, I know the counties were probably a bit wary of it, would have been, and the fact that then it was highlighted on RTÉ's League Sunday programme on Sunday night kind of brought it to prominence, and they've been sort of worried since. And yep, Armagh would probably feel harder done by than Donegal, just in terms of the fact that Neil McGee's role in the championship game might have been limited, given how little of the league he has played. And Orm McFadden Ferry obviously is a big loss to Donegal, but Kieran Mackin's possibly been Armagh's player of the league behind Ryan O'Neill. Aidan Nugent has played very, very well and is a massive loss. And then, you know, Stephen Campbell's always a big player off the bench for them. So You know, Armagh will definitely be feeling more hard done by over it.
Would that maybe encourage an appeal process from the Orchard County then?
Well, again, the danger of the appeals process is that it opens it up to the bodies and the powers that be then looking at the video footage, because these suspensions are off the foot of the referee's report. There's no video investigation involved as such at this point, but an appeals process would open that up and might bring other people into play, might put other people in trouble. So it's a delicate balancing act for them. It's a big decision for them to make. I think from a Donegal point of view, McFadden Ferry's a loss, but they might be content to leave it in the sense that nobody else gets in trouble. Armagh would feel that their losses are more significant and probably have to do a bit more turning and twisting and losing sleep over it in terms of making a decision.
That's Ciara O'Kane of the Irish News, and you can hear more from Ciara available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com on that issue of the five suspensions handed out today, two of which to Donegal, Orm McFadden Ferry and Neil McGee, and three given to Armagh players following that melee at the end of the game last week. We wait to see if there will be any further developments with that situation in the coming days. The Donegal County Board have until tomorrow evening to appeal those sanctions. In football, England captain Harry Kane has joined manager Gareth Southgate in condemning fans who booed Harry Maguire at Wembley last night. The out-of-form Manchester United defender was jeered by some sections of supporters in the early stages of the 3-0 friendly win over the Ivory Coast. Egypt have lodged an official complaint against Senegal, claiming their team was subjected to racism and terrorised by home fans at Dakar. Sadio Mane's winning penalty in the shootout sealed Senegal's World Cup place, with his Liverpool teammate Mohamed Salah among those to miss for Egypt. Egyptian captain Salah was one of several visiting players targeted by green laser pointers during the penalty shootout. Well, history looks set to be made in Barcelona this evening. Barca go into the second leg of their Women's Champions League quarter-final with a 3-1 lead over Real Madrid. The game is set to kick off at the Camp Nou in under a half an hour's time at 5:45, and an anticipated world record-breaking crowd of over 90,000 is expected to attend that Women's Champions League quarter-final fixture. In the Donegal Junior League, one game tonight. It's in the Premier Division. Convey Arsenal are taking on Kildrum Tigers. It starts at 6:45. And finally, in racing, national hunt jockey Robbie Dunn has had his 18-month ban reduced to 10 months after an appeal. Dunn was banned for 18 months back in December of last year for bullying and harassing a fellow rider, Brioni Frost. As his ban at the time was with immediate effect, he may return to racing in October of this year. That's your sport, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Weather now. It will be cold this evening with brighter sunny spells and scattered showers. Tonight will be cold and frosty too with long clear spells. There will be a few wintry showers about, mainly affecting coastal areas. Lowest temperatures of -3 to 0 degrees. Closing headlines now. Ireland is facing the greatest humanitarian crisis in its history as refugees continue to arrive from Ukraine. The Taoiseach says the government needs to examine whether widening tax bans or an additional tax rate of 30% should be introduced in the budget. And four men have been arrested in connection with a shooting of a teenager in Strabane last month. That's it for now. We're back with more at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, the 30th of March. The death has taken place of Gerard Cunningham, late of Thomas Court Bon, Dublin 8, and formerly of 7 Pierce Gardens, Strabane. Funeral leaving his nephew Gerard Cunningham's home, 77 Lisnefin Park, Strabane, on Friday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Lily Donaghy, Ní Kerr, 29 Columban Terrace, Strabane. funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Brendan Gallagher, Monklink, Galdena, Manor Cunningham. Brendan's remains will repose at his late residence from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St Columba's Church, Dromahol, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The death has taken place of John Harkin, Glencrow, Moville. His remains are reposing at his home. John's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballinacray Cemetery, Leckamy. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. John's funeral mass can be viewed live on mobileparish.com. The death has taken place of Mary McHugh, née McMullen, 74, Ardconnell, Glantys. Removal from Shovlin's funeral home, Sandfield, Ardra, at 5:30 this evening, going to relate residence. The house is private to family and close friends only, please. Removal from her home on Friday morning to St Connell's Church, Glantys, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Killybegs Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of James McGuinness and Sons funeral directors. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Kathleen O'Hanlon, née Wallace, 19 Glen Road, Strabane, and formerly of Coal Island. Reposing at Quigley's funeral home this evening, with removal at 6:30 to the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the friends and relatives of Greenfield, care of Quigley funeral directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Teresa Cuskelly, née O'Reilly, Thorndale, Letterkenny, and formerly of Lower Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Thorndale, Letterkenny. The house is strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Funeral Mass in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Jim McGlynn, funeral director. The death has taken place in London of Christy Tinney, Hammersmith, London, and formerly of Graham Island, Castlefin. Funeral Mass in St Augustine's Church, Hammersmith, at 12:15 on Friday afternoon, followed by interment immediately afterwards. The funeral can be viewed live on the parish webpage. The death has occurred of Father Patrick Duher, Columban Fathers, Dalgan Park, Navan, County Meath, and late of Gortaclare Road, Cleggan North, Dunamana, Strabane, and Peru Mission. Funeral Mass tomorrow in St Columban's Dalgan Park at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the community cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary McAteer, née McMenamin, White Hart, Rathmullen. Requiem Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. The house is strictly private to family and close friends only. The Mass can be viewed on MCN Media. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Lourdes Invalid Fund, care of McElwee funeral directors or any family member. The death has taken place of Danny McGillaway, Roxtown, Urris, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Michael's Church, Uris, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the renal unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Comiskey, funeral directors or any family member. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.